We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone asked me recently if I had any strange phobias. And I thought, well, I suppose I have a little bit of arachnophobia, which arachnophobia is a fear of spiders, right? I probably am not the only one. So that got me to looking up some other phobias and names for them, and I saw some interesting ones. There's aerophobia, A-E-R-O. Any guesses as to what that is? Fear of flying, right. I mean, you hear about it. I didn't realize that was the name. Or monophobia. Fear of being alone. Mono, single, one. Phobophobia. Fear of fear, right. And here's one. Maybe you know this, but I had never heard of it. Pedophobia. It's the fear of dolls. So I suppose some dolls are scary. But I heard a speaker recently, and he said our greatest fear is of being exposed for who we are, of people knowing what we think and how we feel, because they might not like us, you know, if they really know what we're thinking all the time. And so we usually try to, you know, cover things up and feel like and act like everything's just fine, especially in groups, maybe especially in church, as if we don't all have arguments with people we care about, and as if we don't all have failures in our lives or regrets or places we really need to change. And instead, we kind of want to look like we're all together, you know, we're all put together and we don't need any help. Thank you very much. In Jesus' day, the crowds made no secret of the fact that they needed help. They flocked to Jesus for help. They came to Jesus like fruit flies to red wine. They came to him for healing. They came to him for his words about life. And sometimes they hoped to be fed by him. Now, there were other people in the community. There were powerful people who didn't admit any needs, and they didn't come, and they didn't get healing. There are very few who come in positions of power to Jesus for help. So that's kind of where we are, that Jesus invites us to admit that despite what we want to think about ourselves and the image we'd like to portray, that we do have needs, we do need help, and that we do need Jesus. He invites us to be ones who reveal to him, this is the need I have, so that Jesus can set us out on the path to healing. Now, receiving healing is not the only advantage in being honest about our needs. It also changes the way we look at each other. You know, I think it's really simple, especially in this culture, to see things one way or another, yes or no, good or bad. There are bad people, and then there are good people, and of course, we feel like we're one of the good people. But really, things are grayer than that. They're on a continuum. An angry word is on the same continuum as pulling out a gun. And if we're honest, even though, you know, we may not have committed a crime, if we had a different background, if we had fewer resources, if we had other pressures, if we had other dangers, we might be capable of doing some pretty bad things. And it is when we're willing to admit that potential, that by the grace of God doesn't get acted on, that we are able to step down from that pedestal that we like to put ourselves on and step down into the crowds of humanity and look people in the face. And then as we look people in the eye, we have to admit that we see within them the same fears as in our hearts, the same anger as in our hearts, the same sinfulness, the same hopes. Then we are more able to feel with them, to have that sense of understanding. And the word for that is compassion, with, come, and passion, to feel with them. And when we have compassion for people, we can do amazing things. I talked to a woman just this week whose husband is a police officer, and last fall, he was called to an emergency situation, and when he got there, it was not an emergency. He was set up, and he was shot. And she said, the moment she got to the hospital, there were people, strangers, that came to her and stayed with her throughout his surgery and throughout the time of uncertainty until they found out he was going to be okay. And they weren't staff, and they weren't people she knew, but it turned out they were the spouses of other police officers. They identified with her need. They understood her need. They felt with her. They had compassion. And they were able to give her great help in a very difficult time. It's interesting because compassion is the very word that the gospel writer uses to describe how Jesus felt when all these crowds came to him. And in today's gospel, he's looking for rest. He tries to send his disciples for rest. And then we find out later that he intends to go up and pray on a mountain. But these people show up, and he changes his plan because he has compassion for them. And he has compassion for them because he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. So we're back to the sheep again, which, as we talked with the children, I mean, it's not really a flattering thing to think you need a shepherd, that you're a sheep that has to have a leader, that you can't find your way without it. It's not a flattering thing to believe that we need a leader. And yet that is what Jesus is inviting us to admit, that we do. We need a leader, and he is so eager to be our good shepherd because he looks at us with compassion, just as he did that crowd. He knows our hearts, the things that we don't want to reveal, and yet he loves us. And of all the blessings that Jesus brings, this is the first and must be one of the greatest, that he not only sees who we are completely, but loves us completely. And he invites us to follow him. And what that means is, interestingly, described pretty well, not in Jesus' day, but long before Jesus in the Old Testament in that psalm we read together, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, I was doing a little reading about shepherds and the challenges of being a shepherd, and I guess the most important thing in keeping your herd safe is to keep them moving. Because if they stay in the same spot, they overgraze, and they can get illnesses, diseases, because they're crowded in the same spot all the time. Well, I don't think it's much different for our good shepherd. He needs to keep us moving, and he does. It's not always easy, of course, to follow him. It just as, you know, we weren't sure where Megan was going to lead us, and she could have made us jump over some pews or something like that. Jesus doesn't promise that it will be easy, but he does promise that as we follow him, our lives have purpose. As we follow him, even if our days don't seem to have purpose in and of themselves, even if they're full of frustration, or maybe full of boredom, they are part of a bigger picture. They're part of a grander scheme. They're part of God's plan to bring saving help to the world. Our days, as we follow Jesus, have purpose. I talked to a person who had suffered from anxiety for many years. This person had prayed that this anxiety would leave and wondered why didn't God answer my prayer? Slowly, this person began to reveal on social media this problem. And slowly, other friends began to contact this person and say, I'm dealing with that too. And this person began to support these friends and to tell them, this is a good thing. Don't do this. This will be helpful. And very slowly, this person began to see this anxiety, this curse, as something else. Not God-given, but something God used. And felt called through this problem to support and help people who otherwise were cowering in their own little corners, afraid. When we follow Jesus, it isn't always easy, but our lives have meaning. They have more meaning than just for ourselves. They also mean that we look out for others. It isn't easy to follow Jesus, and that's why I think we really like, or I think many people really like the words in the 23rd Psalm, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And I know it in the old, "For thou art with me." You know, you can imagine your life with a lot of darkness. Imagine walking through that darkness, but there is someone ahead of you with the big flashlight. And as long as that person is there, you know they'll encounter any problems first. They will take care of problems. They will get you ready for anything. They will tell you what to worry about. Be prepared for this. Your leader gives you confidence. But you might also be afraid of what's behind you. You know, you're turning around in the darkness. What is that noise? What's following me? And that's, of course, our usual anxiety. What will happen next? Is something bad going to happen? I don't know. Even then, this psalm has words of encouragement. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Not surely, you know, evil will follow me, but surely goodness and mercy will follow me. So it's as though Jesus is there ahead of you with the light and behind you. And basically, as we follow him, we are in a circle of light in our lives, a circle of light that gives us confidence. Following the leader gets hard. And, you know, we don't always feel like we know what's going on. And I think it's this particular translation of the psalm is a little unnerving for some people because of the way it ends. It says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all my life long." And we think, no, it used to be forever. But it means the same. It is interesting that in the Old Testament, people hadn't come to an understanding that there was life after this life. And so that direct translation says it that way. But we know that Jesus made it perfectly clear that he goes to prepare a place for us in eternity. I don't know why the fear of other people knowing our hearts and minds is so scary. But I think it's because believing that we're good people is the last thing we can do, you know, to prop ourselves up and give us confidence in a world that is uncertain and often dangerous. But like a child hiding under the covers in a storm, you know, this false understanding we have of our goodness is not going to help. The only hope and protection we have in life is Jesus. His way is not easy, but it is meaningful. His way is not always comfortable, but it is compassionate. And it may bring us hardship, but it always fills our lives with confidence. And following Jesus, we are never alone, because he is with us. He is with us today. He is with us tomorrow. He is with us forever. Amen.